Blog Talk Radio.
With Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. Well, it's a cool, but it was a sunny day here in New York City. It's 5:30 on my time, and it's already dark outside. Wow. And, we got a show that Let's Kill Grandma This Christmas. That's not really what we're going to do. That's actually the name of an off-Broadway black comedy that's going to be coming up next month. The show is written by a man named, a playwright, Brian Giansi, if I pronounce it right. And it could be Giansi. I write for an Italian paper, and and it's directed by John DePolito. We'll find out exactly how it's pronounced when they come on in a little while. Then, because they're going to be my guests a little later. Also, I'm going to be talking a bit about some of the shows and performances that I've seen. Give a review. Just remember, it's just my opinion, but you got to get the sponsor in first. So, okay. And I'm.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale.
Brownies. Oh, yeah, and you can get these wonderful brownies at www.brownies.com. Just wanted to say that they also, they have the truffle brownies, meaning that they're good enough, they're dipped in the Belgian chocolate, the small ones. And then they have, I guess, we call them blondies, I guess, because there's some that have, they call them bars. And one of them does have chocolate chips in it, and the others don't have any chocolate. Boo. But they're good anyway. What are the flavors? They have a raspberry swirl, a pecan, and cheesecake. Cream cheese, not cheesecake. Cream cheese, that's it. Okay, so go to it. This is great for a holiday. Before I get into the reviews part, I also wanted to continue the Yes, Eunice. Where's is Esther here too? Is Esther here too? Where's Esther? Okay. That's good to hear. But you guys don't have to worry. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving. And you're not turkeys. So, yeah, they'd be concerned. Besides, there weren't any turkeys when the pilgrims landed in Provincetown. Yes, Provincetown. They didn't. That's where they landed first, not Plymouth Rock. In Provincetown, it was lobsters. So, in case if you want to be really, really traditional and historic or hysteric, have a lobster for Thanksgiving. Maybe that's what I'll have. Yeah. So, anyway, to get back to this. So, I saw Peter Gallagher performing in concert at Feinstein's. Now, Feinstein's is a nightclub. I don't know what they call them, supper clubs, nightclubs. Yeah, I guess a supper club because they have a full menu. And anyway, so, and it's intimate, so it doesn't matter where you sit, really. You could still see the entertainer. And it was Peter Gallagher. And let's see. Well, I'll basically tell you what I kind of wrote. And one of the things about Feinstein's, in case you've been there, they're going to be doing renovation of, I believe, the hotel. It's the Regency Hotel. And they're going to be moving Feinstein's. I don't know whether it'll be temporarily or permanent, but I'll know in a couple of weeks. But, okay, so now Peter Gallagher, you probably best to just Google his name. Peter Gallagher has been, like, all around. He's been in the theater, movies, television, and so he was basically singing and telling kind of the story of his life, sharing all kinds of stories. And of the show, he was called How'd All You People Get in My Room? And it turned out there were a lot of friends and family in the room, too. And when he would tell, like, stories about the people in show business that he met, he would also imitate them, too. Like when he met Jimmy Cagney. And, you know, so... But one of the things, he goes back to his career back in 1977. And he's now, I believe he's like 57 years old now. So back in 1977, for instance, telling us that while he was auditioning for the Broadway show Hair, he sang Paul Anka's hit Put Your Head on My Shoulder. And whereas performers are halted after, like, when they do eight bars, they allowed him to finish the song. And I think he said, my knees buckled and my eyes filled with tears. It was like stories. Gally had a story for each of the songs. And then he did a duet with his 19-year-old daughter, Catherine, singing Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better. Then he took a break, excuse me, to allow her to get up and perform her original rock ballad song called Damaged. And so this was, Gallagher had a quartet, and he sang songs like Luck Be a Lady, where he strolled out to the audience, singing to the ladies, Let's see. And that's for the television. I'm not sure whether it was the last thing he did, but one of the things he starred in The O.C., which I guess probably, I don't know, it's still, maybe it stood for Orange County, I think. I never saw it. So, but he did a good show. That was what's important. He's a good entertainer, does a good show. And it's nice going to these nightclubs. Matter of fact, I will be going to another nightclub at the end of the week called Below 54, which I think has something to do with the former Studio 54. Sounds to me like it's either the basement level or first floor of what was Studio 54. It's going to be my first time. So that was that. And let me just make sure. Okay, yeah, to get back to this. Then I saw the show called The Performers, which I gave it the review of being sexational. Well, okay, so when you're in the theater, the spotlights are waving about the audience, and you'll see a lighted sign on the curtain that reads Adult Film Awards. And that's the sign is the key to the plot, yes. It's all about porno stars. The curtain rises and you see Mandrew, that's his name, who was played by Cheyenne Jackson, in his Las Vegas hotel room, donning sparse clothing, talking to Lee, who is a former friend from his high school days, who is now a reporter for the New York Post. And Mandrew, who would rather not call himself a porno star, he calls himself a love star. He's up for a major award, and he's also promoting a movie entitled Planet of the Tits. Okay, so he is married to Peeps, played by Ari Grainer, who's another porno star, who's upset seems to lie in that her porno actress friend Sundan LeMay, played by Jennifer Barber, has gotten an extreme boob job. Extreme. While hers are tiny. Where she says, I don't even have titties. I just have these little cow teats. She, however, feels that tiny boobs means roles of schoolgirls and babysitters versus roles of having school teachers or secretaries or even worse, a MILF, M-I-L-F. Interesting, because I forgot to look it up at the time. Now that I look at it, when I finally looked it up, and they say it to do, it's Mother I Love to Fuck. I think that's what it is. Who knew? I don't know what I thought it meant. Anyway, then she's got two other upsets. One is that she's being the only one that she was the only one who was not in that movie, and also the other upset is that Mandrew kissed Sundown on the lips. And in other words, every type of sex is okay, as long as you don't kiss on the lips, as long as you're saving the kisses for the wife, I guess. Okay, anyway, now Lee, who I said before, who's played by Daniel Brake, he's engaged to Sarah Myers, who's played by Alicia Silverstone, and he's quite conservative when it comes to sex, and conflict, I think, is Sarah would like to see Barry Manilow in concert while they're in Vegas, while Lee has been invited to the after party of the awards. So then later we meet Chuck Wood, who's an aging porno star in his 50s, played by Henry Winkler. Yes, the Fonz Henry Winkler. Now, he's also up for the same age award, and he's quite confident he'll get it. Due to, I guess, the size of his, yeah, you know. So anyway, Winkler will keep, he keeps bragging about it. We don't see it. We don't see any nudity in the whole thing. So Winkler also gets some, he gets some great lines as well. He says, one of the things he says, I had a scare once, about 5-10 years ago. I woke up and found a gelatinous cheese-like substance on the base of my balls. Could have been any number of diseases. Turned out it was cheese. I'd been eating a panini naked, and I fell asleep as the cheddar dripped down onto my testicles. Well, the performance is hilarious, thanks to writer David West Reed. And there's lots and lots of puns, outright sexual language. You can't be prudish. And Ari Grainer, who's the Peeps one, has really lucked out. She's getting all it's a not so bright role, but she gets all the funniest lines and the character of the thing. But they all add humor to this play. It's a thumbs up. I was going to thumbs up your, I think somebody did get an anal award or something. But anyway, it's thumbs up for this, for the performer. Yes, definite show to see. Let's just look to see. Oh, okay. All right, we got like 3 minutes before. All right, I'm gonna talk about Forever Dusty. Probably, I'll talk about like maybe after the interview. So why don't I, let's see, my sponsors. Okay, let's get JetBlue in on this now.
Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra leg room.
Uh-huh. We have extra leg room as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay, if I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No, that is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room.
Ah.
I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue, based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
Yeah, well, I hate to say it after seeing the performers. Extra leg can mean another thing as well. Oh, extra legroom. Think about that. Anyway, and his saying, if I don't have an extra leg, well, anyway, so getting back to this, waiting for the call. I can't even play a piece of music. All right, I will comment on something while I'm ready to call. Okay, with the holidays coming tomorrow, Thanksgiving on Thursday coming up. I hope you all got your new wave oven. The thing cooks a turkey. Yes, the thing, it cooks a whole turkey because they have an extender ring. All right, I have not made a turkey as yet. And at some point, no, I'm not. I'm not going to tell you I'm going to make a turkey because happen to not like turkey. So I have made a whole duck in there. And a whole duck. I've made it both a fresh duck and a frozen duck. And they come out absolutely perfect in the new wave oven. I've not used my regular oven yet in, I guess it's got to be 4 years. But I found that the duck, all the fat drains, it's crispy on the outside, juicy on the inside. I did make something. I bought a chicken. It was organic chicken. And I guess it was, I would call it maybe more like a roaster size chicken. And I wanted to see in terms of made a difference in taste. And I have to say, it does. It really, it came out crispy on the outside. All the fat drained. And it was very tender. Very tender inside. And really tasty. I don't put a lot of seasoning on the chickens. I shove some slices of ginger inside the cavity. So we're ready now. I got the both of them on. Let's open it up. Yes, they're both on.
Did you press the button?
Hi, guys.
Did you press the button? Yeah. Who was that?
You're both on.
Oh, we're on. Oh, we're on. Okay. There's a lag because we're in the same room. I'm going to go in the hall, John. I think because we're in the same room, it's we're getting some kind of.
Oh, you were on two different phones, but in the same room.
Yeah. We're on cell phones.
Okay.
How are you doing?
Oh, just fine. So let's kill Grandma this Christmas. Okay,
yeah.
Let's start by because. With the writer telling us what the hell this is about.
Well, first of all, I want to clear things up. I have two of the sweetest grandmothers that this planet has ever seen, so it has nothing to do with my actual grandmothers.
Okay.
Right now.
We're glad to hear that.
God rest their souls. They were nothing but sweet.
Okay, so Brian, what is this about then?
Well, it's about a family that has come upon some harsh economic times, you know, and they're struggling financially, overworked, underpaid, and they need some money. And they have this inheritance has just been announced from their grandmother, and they could really use the money. And is it cost effective to have her alive? That's the idea.
So the plot revolve around the plot of killing her?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, John, I think John's better at handling the plot stuff. So I want you to take a stab at it.
See how he does to me and puts all the pressure on me.
John's better at handling that. Go ahead, John.
Okay. All right, then before we get into that, I guess this is not the first play you've written, Brian, is it?
No, I've written two others. I wrote a play called Saturn Return. And another play called Two Thieves, A Girl Named Florine, and an extremely rare, perfectly cut $250,000 bifocal diamond. But this is the first one that's been produced off-Broadway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so now we'll get... Okay, so John, if you want to tell us, go more into the plot.
sure, basically what Brian was saying is that you've got this family who's really come on. You know, it's basically you're looking at our economic situation in present-day culture and how the unemployment rate and what's going on with people and how desperate everyone is feeling. And what this particular family does is in the midst of this desperation, they start devising a plan to get rid of the family matriarch so that they can live more comfortably, because they foresee her age being something that taps them out financially. So why not just help her along and help everyone along financially? And so they devise an elaborate plan to take care of her once and for all.
And is this a... Is this done comically?
Is this a
black comedy?
Absolutely. It's a black comedy. It's a real look at our American culture, our value systems, where we seem to have been moving towards corporate America as opposed to the primary fundamental values of family, love, friendship, loyalty, honor, integrity. And so you have characters inside the play with that juxtaposed straight up against strict capitalism and dog-eat-dog world.
And this is going to open next month?
Our first preview is the 25th of November, and our official opening night is December 3rd, and we run through January 6th. And, of course, if we get wonderful and extraordinary reviews, we'll try to keep this baby open and extended after that. But right now we have a limited engagement from November 25th through January 6th.
Okay. Well, what theater?
It'll be at the St. Clements Theater, which is 46th Street between 9th and 10th Avenue, right in the heart of Times Square. And we're doing 8 performances a week.
Cool. Does that theater, like one of them that has more than one show?
No, we don't. It'll be all us, our show.
Oh, okay. Just wanted to know. Because they do that now.
Oh, yes, they do. A lot of shows do that, yeah. They share theaters.
Yeah. It's so expensive to get theater space.
Well, they have it like, I was at the one on 50th World Stages.
Right. Oh,
where
yeah,
they have
multiple stages there.
Yeah, whereas there are some, depending on what night you go, is what show you see.
Right.
There's
only one theater space at the St. Clements, and we were lucky enough to get it because we really wanted to make sure that a Christmas play like this, Let's Kill Grandma This Christmas, really gave people the opportunity coming into that area of town an easy step over to the theater. We didn't want to make it difficult. We didn't want them having to travel. And as you know, winters in New York can be tough at times. We were hoping that even in poor weather, people would know it's very easy access to this particular theater.
Oh,
and it's a great play. A church is an excellent place to plot a murder, especially if it's your grandma.
Yeah, why not, right?
Yeah, that's fun, though.
How did you two like get together to decide to do this?
Well, actually, I met John about three or four years ago, and it was right around the same time I started the first draft of the play. And at the time, I was an actor, and I was taking John's class, and I was kind of working on some of the scenes in class. And we did like a small workshop production, actually, with several people from John's class, and through that, John kind of took a liking to it, and his partner Robert Nicotra, they kind of got on board with the project, and we've been working on it since.
By partner, he means friend. My friend Robert Nicotra, who is the co-producer of the play Let's Kill Grandma This Christmas, along with myself. Two of us have been working quite hard on the play with Brian over the past couple of years. We got a strong sense of what Brian wanted to do with the play. We immediately loved his work as a writer, and after doing a workshop with him, we said, hey, we'd love to be a part of helping you realize this thing and take it to the next level. And so Robert Nicotra has been an instrumental part of getting this work done as well.
Great. You said this coming weekend, the 25th, is when they're going to have the first show, huh?
Oh, yeah. We're right on top of things. It's quite an exciting time, actually. You know, we're actually just called you right as her rehearsal ended today. So it's a very, very exciting time for us.
How was rehearsal?
Wonderful. Fun. It's always fun and it's always wild at this point when you get towards the end. All the energy is very high. People are very excited. You know, everybody's at a point where they're, you know, ready to get in front of an audience, actually.
John, did you give him a lot of notes today?
Actually, the notes start to dwindle, you know, as you get towards the end. You know, it's a lot more notes probably a week ago. As we get closer, it's not as bad. And that's probably a lucky sign, you know?
Yeah, that's good. There's no music in this, so you don't have to add that factor, huh?
No, exactly. So, I mean, we'll use some musical cues to segue from one thing to another, but as far as actually, it's not a musical, it's a straight comedy. And so the music's already in the lyrics. Brian has a wonderful kind of lyrical quality, the way that he writes. And so there is a nice rhythm and musicality to the language that he uses as a playwright. So in that place, it's really exciting.
So give me an idea of, like, how many people are in the cast?
We have six cast members.
I'm sorry, how many?
Six.
Oh, six. And just to get a sense, like, give me, like, what are the six characters that we're going to be looking at?
Well, there are two sisters, and the sisters are the granddaughters of the grandmother, and that's the third character, the grandmother. And then the two sisters' husbands. And one of the husband's war veteran brother is also there. He's in a wheelchair and he has a steel plate in his head. So there are six total.
Oh, okay. And as far as the actors, are they all? Do we know them, or are they new, or any of them first timers, or what do we got?
Oh, we have Roxy Lucas, who's a Broadway veteran from many times over. She's been in Forbidden Broadway is probably the big show that she's most known for. She's a Broadway vet and has done Broadway tours as well for over the past 25 years. She's really fantastic, and she's in the role of grandma. She plays the role of grandma for us, and then we have. Katie Weber, who's also been in Rock of Ages, and she was also in Wicked. So we have a lot of that, a lot of Broadway credits as we work here. So, you know, we got pros to do this play because, like I said, we want to take it further. We believe that the play has room to go to Broadway, and that's why we're taking it to this level and trying to get producers from the Broadway world to take some interest in this work. And to perhaps move it forward. And again, of course, we know that pertains with some good reviews and a good eye from good Broadway producers. But that's where we're at.
So I guess I'll review this after I see the show, too, huh?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. I think you're going to have a lot more questions afterwards.
Yeah. Okay. I'll be able to get
there.
A copy of the script, so I can, you know, I like to put in some quotes when I'm doing my review. So.
Oh, wonderful.
That really helps when you get copies of the scripts, because when I go see a show, like, my mind goes totally blank. I just go, I don't know what the show is about. Never saw it. If there was a movie, I don't care. If it was shown before, I don't care. And I just, that's it. I'm just sitting there. And that's how I base my review on that.
I like that. That's kind of nice. So you basically go and have an experience.
Yeah. I got it. I went to see Forever Dusty last night. about the life of Dusty Springfield. And
right.
I didn't look in the playbill. I didn't look about anything. Oh, I know her from singing, from songs. And I'm going,
right.
Really? She was a lesbian? Really? She was into drugs? Alcohol? She died of cancer? I should have looked this up first.
That's good, though. You get to have the real experience of everybody else. I think that's probably important as a critic to be able to really have that first fresh impression, just like a regular, theater
goer.
Yeah,
I think that's best. But you get too many critics. It's when I'll look at it as, am I going to be entertained, as opposed
right,
to
right,
trying to
right.
break it down and like. No,
right,
it's like,
right.
Yeah, it's like.
I understand what you mean.
You know, it's like I'll read a review and I'm going, do they tell you that you need to put in 1,000 words in order to do this review, or can you just get to the point? You know, so
right,
but
right.
you guys are feeling good about it though.
We're really excited. It's, you know, it's a very, very exciting time. And for Brian, it's been 3 years in the making. For Robert and I, it's been 2 years in the making. So the fact that we're marching towards our first previews, it's a very, obviously, it's a little bit of nail biting, but excitement as well.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it's, we're pretty blessed. I mean, John's an amazing director. And
mm-hmm.
we just have an incredible cast. So it's all really kind of, yeah, it's kind of a magical time to see it all just, you know, after all this time, just to come together and really see it live. John's really been able to craft it in a way that really exceeded even my vision. And a lot of all of the actors have brought it to life in a way that's exceeded what I kind of envisioned as I was writing it. So, it's really cool to see where it's at right now.
Well, how about, let me ask you a question. From the time that you've had, like, where people did the first reading to this point, did you find that you had to make any changes in the script at all, either because somebody had lived something and you said, oh, that's good?
That, there's been, I guess, through the workshop, we found a couple things that were ad-libbed. And you know, there's been so many drafts at this point that I'm not even sure. I can't even, for the life of me, remember exactly what. Actually, no, there are a couple lines that exist that were ad-libbed from the first workshop. But there certainly have been some pretty significant changes that have been made since that first production. Just John has actually worked with me really, and John and Robert have worked with me pretty closely. And we've had some readings of the play over the last couple of years. And we've tweaked and tuned, and specifically with one of the sisters, we kind of worked on her through line and kind of got more specific with who she was as a character. There's definitely been some changes, and we feel like it's been really good. And there continue to be changes now. As of today, there were changes. So, but today, I'd say we're pretty much locked down, because to make any more tweaks at this point would A, probably not be necessary, but also B, just be a little too much for the actors to handle.
Right.
Yeah. But we have a really good share.
Who gets the final decision, the writer or the director?
Well, John and I, a lot of times we'll wrestle, literally. We'll John's bigger than me, but I'm quicker than him, so it's usually a pretty fair match. John and I work really well. Like, well, we look at it really objectively, and somehow it's just organically, it's just kind of just, we talk it over, and through that we kind of arrive at a place where we both sort of agree on it somehow. It never really comes down to, I guess we kind of both arrive at that. It's not really defined who actually has the final say.
Well, in the end, the playwright, of course, always has the final say, but I think that what we have is a long history of working together, so there's trust in position. So let's say if I'm being really passionate about wanting a certain thing to happen,
you know, Brian is very open to that, knowing that I wouldn't be passionate about that unless I felt it was absolutely necessary. And, you know, at the same time, when Brian puts his foot down on something, I know that he's normally flexible and giving. So I tend to step back and listen to, like, why is he being so adamant about that particular thing, and give it the credit that it's due. So we have a really, it's a very healthy relationship in terms of, including Robert Nicotra as well. The three of us have a lot of trust and a lot of personal integrity, and we all know that about each other. And so it makes the work process always fulfilling, quite frankly.
That's good.
Yeah, it has it's a very good collaboration.
Good. I'm glad. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Let me ask another question. In terms of things like sets, because you're at this this particular venue, does that allow for I'm not sure of how big the stage is. In terms of sets, does it allow you to, like, say, well, good, we can cut back on money because we don't have to have that much. We're not having to build that much.
Well, Brian's particular play has written quite a detailed set. I always tease him about that as a producer on this project. I'm always teasing him about your next play, make it a park bench, you know, because he made it an old Victorian home that's being run down. And of course,
God.
Exactly. So you already caught our drift right there. So we were like, okay, Brian, you just gave us quite a cost to get this play done. But that being said, Harry Finer, who has worked at the St. Clements many times, and he's an amazing designer, he's also doing our light design as well as set design. He has worked at the St. Clements Theater many times. Robert and I met with Harry a few months back over the summer. We liked him right away. We liked his designs on his website right away, and we knew that he was the guy to go to simply because he knew that space. He was talking on the type of numbers that we were looking at financially to get the thing done, and we knew that he kind of had a good artistic take on what we wanted to achieve. So it was kind of a no-brainer to go with him because of all around, he just seemed to, it was easy to mark off the checkbox to say, okay, he has this, he has this, he has this, he has that. And so he's brought a lot to the table. So we owe a lot to the set designer, no question about it.
Oh. Yeah, I know, they need to get plugged a bit, too.
Oh, not a question about it. I'll tell you, the person who actually really needs to be plugged in this conversation is Erin Craig, who's with La Vie Productions, who's our GM. She has been absolutely phenomenal. She has really helmed and been a tremendous leader in this production. And without her, quite frankly, we would not be in a position we are in today. She has really led the troops with a level of professional excellence that went beyond our expectations.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Erin's been amazing. I don't think we exist right now without her.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. She deserves tremendous kudos.
Good. I hope she'll get to hear this afterwards. This
archive.
Yeah,
I hope so, too.
Also, let me ask, is this a two-act play with an intermission or a 90-minute one and you better pee before?
No,
you don't even have to pee before. We're going to give you an intermission.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's how I call them now, you know? I mean,
boom, you just saved 10 minutes.
No, you certainly have your intermission, absolutely. I know exactly what you mean. You go to the theater and they tell you there's no intermission. I just charge to the bathroom myself.
Right. Or as I say, 5 minutes to go if anybody has to.
Absolutely. Especially Broadway houses where they have such small bathrooms nowadays, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have those old-fashioned bathrooms. From
yeah,
like
the old bathrooms, yeah. I mean, they're beautiful.
The trample going in there.
Oh, okay. So we know this one's got at least two, right?
Yeah, there'll be no problem with the bathrooms here. This
okay.
is it's pretty safe. It's pretty safe there.
They have are they doing one of these? You can buy food and drink too at this place.
Yes, we will have food and drink at the theater. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
Yep. Yeah, we just got the details on that yesterday, so that'll be nice.
Okay, so I shouldn't like hunt down a restaurant that's nearby, huh?
Well, if you want, I mean, well, it'll be snack food. It's not going to be like dinner
theater.
It'll be snack food. It won't. I mean, if you're really hungry, you should really eat before the show. But
any recommendation, by the way?
Well, we're right in. Oh, absolutely. One of the great places. If you want French restaurant, there's Marseille Restaurant right on 9th Avenue and 44th Street, a place that I frequent often. Like I said, the show's on 46th Street. 9th Avenue at that point is called Restaurant Row, and of course there's the old Restaurant Row, which is all of 46th Street, which of course that's exactly where St. Clement's is. So there's a Restaurant Row between 8th and 9th Avenue, and then you have the St. Clement's just down the block from that. So loads of places to eat. You have Beco Italian food right there.
I think I've gone to this Thai restaurant that's there, not the one on the corner.
Yeah.
The one on the corner, the middle of the block?
You're thinking of room service that has the chandeliers?
No, it's a Thai. I forgot it's a...
Does it have a chandelier in the middle of it?
No, it's a little place.
It's a tiny place.
There is a beautiful Thai
restaurant called Room Service in the area. If you like Thai food, it's tremendous. Yeah, it's really good.
All right, I have to keep in mind of what's there, because that's the Restaurant Row is now where they fight to see who's got the best and least expensive pre-6 dinner.
You got it.
That's what's really cool. So did we miss anything about the show?
I don't think so. We're just thank you so much for the opportunity. Have the conversation. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, I think I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah,
be sure to
find us at the theater when you're there, please.
Oh yeah, I won't wear red carnation, but you know you'll.
But bring that sense of humor that you have. We need that there.
Oh, okay. Wait. Maybe I'll do a scene from The Wizard of Oz for you. That's one
like
of the
it.
Shticks that I do. I could do three scenes from The Wizard of Oz all by myself.
Maybe we can get you up there at intermission.
Yeah. Okay,
beautiful.
Brian, John, it's, by the way, because I just want, Brian, how do you pronounce your last name?
It's Gianci.
Gianci.
Yep.
And is that Italian? That's Italian, right?
That is Italian. Yep.
For the life of me, and I was commenting in the beginning, I write for an Italian paper, and I still can't get.
You can't say Italian last name.
It was one of those names that kind of got morphed when my great grandparents came off the boat, and they're like, I think initially it began with a Q, and there was like a U in there, and then. I think the guy that was stamping the tickets was like, you know what, your name's Gianci. And then that's been my name ever since. It worked.
You know,
it's
funny. That's what happens. That's what they did when they came, of people coming off the boat and, you know, and suddenly getting new last names.
Right.
And it was more like, all right, good enough. Call me that. Yeah, write that down. That's good enough.
As long as I'm in the land of the free, call me whatever you want.
That's right.
Yeah, right. Call me free.
Good enough, yes. Okay. All right, guys. Well,
thank you so much.
Yes, I'm not going to say break a leg this weekend because it's only preview.
Right.
Well, we'll take it.
Thank you for the time. We'll take all the leg breaking we can find.
Okay. You got it.
Yeah, you
have
a great
evening.
And thank you for your time today.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys. Tonight. Well, I'm certainly going to see the show, and looking forward to. I like a good comedy. Oh, yeah. So, okay, now getting back. Dusty Springfield, well, I guess you already just kind of heard what I said. on, and I mean, I just didn't look it up to see. But anyway, so the show, Forever Dusty, is it stars Kirsten Holly Smith, which I'm not looking up to see who she is, but she also apparently wrote the a man named Jonathan Vankin wrote the book of this. And I haven't had the opportunity to interview Kirsten as to, like, you know, why Dusty Springfield. And I guess she kind of looks like Dusty Springfield. So that, you know, helps as well. So in the show, what you're getting in as it opens as she, as Dusty Springfield is recording the album, I guess something regarding Memphis, because she's in Memphis, and she's singing Son of a Preacher Man. And from there we go to back to her childhood. Looks like she's a teenager at a Catholic school in London. And she's with her friends, and there's a comment about that she sings. And at that point, she sings Wishing and Hoping. You know, wishing and hoping and thinking and praying, planning and dreaming each night of his charms that won't get you into his arms. So if you're looking to find love you can share, all you gotta do is hold him and kiss him and love him and show him that you care. That one. Yeah, in case you didn't know which one that was. Okay, and I'm going to scroll down. And, oh, we get to meet her brother, Dion. And Dion is forming a group. And I don't know what, how he probably was popular, I guess, in the UK. Because, I didn't know that they formed a group, Dusty, I guess, the Dion, or the Springfields, that's what they call them. And from what I got, you know, in terms of the songs, none of them, were anything I had ever heard. So we go from there, and at some point, Dusty meets this woman, and then we kind of get that. And Dusty now gets into enjoying like the soul sound, and so she wants to kind of do Motown, and her head becomes what she seems to like. Okay, and the woman that she meets lives in the States, and they're trying to decide what they're going to do, and it's during, the woman is black, and I say that because there's a whole thing that during that time about apartheid and her performing in front of a mixed audience, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so one of the next songs that we get to hear that Dusty recorded is I Only Want to Be With You, and I don't know if that was supposed to be dedicated to this woman. Okay, in case you don't know what that one is, that's the one. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is to make it to make me love you so. I only know I never want to let you go, because you started something, oh, can't you see, that ever since we met you had a hold on me. It happens to be true, I only want to be with you. It doesn't matter where you go or what you do, I want to spend each moment of the day with you. Although what has happened with just one kiss, I never knew that I could be in love like this. It's crazy, but it's true, I only want to be with you. You stop and smile at me, ask me if I care to dance. I fell into your open arms, and I didn't stand a chance. Now listen, honey, I just want to be beside you everywhere. As long as we're together, honey, I don't care. Because you started something, oh, can't you see? That ever since we met, you had a hold on me. No matter what you do, I only want to be with you. No matter what you do, I only want to be with you. Actually, the reason I'm singing this song is because I was trying to find them to put on like an MP3 to play, and I just I couldn't find it. Okay, so anyway, we'll go through her life, and we find that she's into drinking a lot, and Claire, that's her girlfriend, is very unhappy about that. And I'm guessing she's singing songs like The Look of Love. She gets to sing backrack songs. And I'm looking for more of these. I'm scrolling down the script that I have right in front of me here. Scrolling because I have it emailed to me. I know there's got to be one more. One more song that we all know that she sings. Oh, but you know, I know that. I mean, she sang. There were a couple of songs she sang. I went, I've never heard them before. But anyway, so that's kind of like what it is. In terms of, it's definitely worth seeing. Very entertaining. I know people like really enjoy, as if like, you know, knowing about an entertainer's, you know, past and what they were really like. Me, it's, I kind of went, oh, okay, that's, never knew that. I know what, here's the one, wait a minute, here's the one that we know, wait, okay, I'll try this one, let's see if I could do this. Right. When I said I needed you, you said you would always stay. It wasn't me who changed, but you. And now you've gone away. Boom. Don't you see that now you've gone? And I'm left here on my own, that I have to follow you and beg you to come home. Now, you don't have to say you love me, just be close at hand. You don't have to stay forever, I will understand. Believe me, I can help but love you. But believe me, I'll never tie you down. Left alone with just a memory. Life seems dead and so unreal. Now I'll emote. All that's left is loneliness. There's nothing left to feed. Bop, 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 bop. You don't have to say you love me. Just be close at hand. You don't have to stay forever. I will understand. Believe me. Believe me, oh, you don't have to say you love me, just be close at hand. You don't have to stay forever, I will understand. Believe me, believe me. Okay, okay, that's enough, I realize. That was the other song. Anyway, so I'm not going to tell you all the endings and everything, but just basically, it's a show to be seen. That's it. So, with that, as you can tell, boy, I have not sung in a long time. I could tell from hearing my voice cracking. So, I'm going to end the show right now. On a better note, not sure what I'm doing. Let's see. Going to a restaurant tomorrow night, a Russian restaurant, and I will talk about that on the next show. And what else is coming up? And that's, oh, yes, and this weekend is when I'm going to see Roz Ryan at Hello 54. So, until next week, have a happy Thanksgiving. Have a great day, great evening, morning, or whatever. And where are the chickens? Oh, they went to sleep. All right. Huh? Well.